Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Cosmic Circus Reviews. My name is Vin. With me, as always, is John.
Hello.
And today, once again, we're talking about Fantastic Fest. Today, we're going to be covering days two and three. I'm so excited because we have a fantastic lineup of movies I've been really excited to see. John, can you tell me what is the lineup for today?
We have it's like a murderer's row. We have Menorah, Danielle Forever, Saturday Night, The Wild Robot. And my brain is like losing grip right now, but Will and Harper.
Harper. And I have a little surprise. I got to see You Are the Universe. I got to see it as a screener, and I got to speak with the director too yesterday. So at the end of the episode today, I'll be really excited to talk about that. John, what do you want to start with?
Let's start with Anora, man. Anora, yeah.
All right, so Anora is a comedy drama written and directed and edited by Sean Baker, starring Mikey Madison. John, that's literally all I know from Wikipedia. Can you tell me the rest? What's it about?
Yeah, okay, so anybody who knows Sean Baker, like he did the Florida Project, Tangerine, like he manages to find these certain kind of characters and brings a level of empathy to the most unlikely of individuals. You know, with the Florida Project, it was about rundown hotel behind Disney World, which is very interesting. And a lot of people are poor, and anybody touches on poverty, classism, and all that stuff. Anora is, you know, it starts out kind of like Pretty Woman.
Okay.
Like a sex worker who's very good at her job. She knows how to like cater to men and like make people feel special in a brief moment. Whether it's at a strip club or, you know, in a hotel. And on the surface, these are very uncomfortable topics. Very uncomfortable topics. But then it takes a turn in the second act where she meets a Russian guy who's filthy rich. And it becomes almost like a party movie where everything is so alive and out of control and going through extravagant things.
Okay.
And then they make the impulsive decision to get married. And without giving too much away, dude,
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I was getting nervous.
Without giving too much away, you kind of find out that this kid is not exactly what he like makes himself out to be.
Okay.
And the family gets involved and it turns into a wacky comedy about like you know, almost like Meet the Parents. Like, you ever seen Meet the Parents?
No, but I'm trying to figure out how this connects to the director of the Florida Project. Like, does it feel, when you're watching it, does it feel like it's the same spirit? Does it feel like it's the same director? Or does it feel like something totally different?
No, I mean, it does feel like the same director.
Okay.
Because you're dealing with completely unsophisticated people.
Whoa, okay.
And showcasing a part of life that most people are uncomfortable looking at, you know? And it's easy just to look at like somebody who is a sex worker and call them, you know, dismiss them, they're not human.
Yeah.
They don't have anything going on. But it kind of shows the emotional impact of superficial relationships. You know, profit relationships and how that doesn't really last over time, you know?
Could you even use the word
Or how,
parasitic? Like a parasite where there's like one person taking everything from the other person, but then this other person doesn't get anything in return.
No. It's not like that. It's just everybody in this movie is shallow.
Oh,
Everybody in the movie is shallow.
Okay. But actually, I can see how that makes it more interesting, actually.
Yeah.
Kind of, I don't know, kind of going back to the substance, like when I said Margaret Qualley's character, I felt she wasn't making smart choices. That's, to me, I think she was being pretty shallow. Could you make a comparison like that to the substance?
I don't know that. The thing is, like, the relationship between Mikey Madison's character and Nora and Ivan is the guy in the movie.
Okay.
It's all based around money.
Got
and
you.
in
okay.
that, and in that manner, it's depicting the shallowness of that kind of relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And that's what makes it interesting. It starts out like a party town. Things are alive, crazy. Money's flowing everywhere. Everybody's having a great time. It's kind of like Project X, drinking, bubbly. And then, and then it takes the right turn into what is the consequence of all this? And I'm telling you, Mikey Madison is incredible. Incredible in this movie. She gives like a ferocious performance from beginning to end. It's so fearless. So fearless. She does things that when you're watching, you're like, holy cow, man. Like, she just really went for it. And then her execution of dialogue, her like ability to put herself in the most uncomfortable situations is the best way I can put it. It's a magnificent performance.
Hey, great.
And I truly think that she'll probably win the Oscar. Like, I genuinely think that,
For
yeah.
your lead actress.
Yes, it is
My God, wow.
so perfect, man.
I mean, I've been hearing a lot of hype. I've been hearing a lot of praise for this movie, but so
Yeah.
does it all rest on her shoulders, or is there also like strong direction, strong production, or
There's
what are the strengths of this movie?
a lot of characters. I mean, like, there's another character in it that low-key steals the show, but I don't. It's really good, but dude, we got four more movies to go through. I'd say we
right.
just keep it going.
Let's keep it going. What's
Keep
the next one
going.
we want to talk
I'm only going to be brief on this one. I'm mixed on it. Daniela Forever.
It's a science fiction romantic drama written and directed by Nacho Vigalondo, stars Henry Golding and Beatrice Grano. Take it away, John.
Yeah, so this is like Inception for the romantic.
Okay, I like that.
It's not as good as Inception. I just want to make it clear.
Okay.
This
Well,
got an
Inception
Inception.
is, pretty well respected, so that's okay. It's hard to top.
But so basically, like, it's very clever in its design. So when he's in the real world, it is a standard 4x9 ratio. Shot on a low quality camera, like it's almost like 720s, like very low, and it depicts like our world, like you and I talking right now, as like very standard definition, right? So at the start, he's meaning death, and it's implied that this Daniela character died, and he goes into some sort of laboratory, and they offer him a chance to do an experiment with lucid dreaming. And so they give him something like a card that will be his sticking point, and he accidentally messes the card up, and he looks at his passing girlfriend instead. When he goes to sleep,
God.
it goes into high quality definition widescreen,
That's
and
cool.
then
That's a cool trick. Okay.
we go into the dream world, and basically throughout he's building an environment throughout the film, like a second world. He's building a second world with the girl that he lost.
Okay.
But I'm mixed on where it landed. I don't want to really go into
Sure. Okay.
details,
Okay. Okay. All right, that's fine.
but it was interesting. I give it credit for the originality and the blending of styles. I don't know if everything works in the film.
Is it well made?
It's well made. It's just a little convoluted. Just
The writing.
a little convoluted. Yeah. So not everything worked for me. Saturday night. So let's go to Saturday night.
Real quick, Danielle Forever, would you give it a thumbs up or thumbs down if you
I'm gonna do Midway.
really?
Midway.
Okay.
Yeah, Midway.
Man, so you
I
have to
think
think
it's gonna
about it,
work.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go mid on
All right,
that. Yeah.
that's fine. All right, Saturday night, comedy drama about the first ever episode of SNL, written and directed by Jason Reitman, son of acclaimed director Ivan Reitman, stars an ensemble cast of up-and-coming young stars and well-known older actors. I can't even name all of them because we'll be out of time. There's so many people in this movie. John, what
Yeah,
do you
there's a
think?
lot of people. It was also written by Gil Keenan,
Oh,
who also wrote Ghostbusters Afterlife and Frozen Empire.
I think, are both of those with Jason Reitman?
One of them
Bro,
is.
Ghostbusters for sure, right?
All right. So let me set this up. It is day two, and I've been out past midnight 2 nights in a row. And the secret screening is at 11:30 at night. And you think to yourself, surely they're gonna have something that late. It's gonna be pretty intense. Right? Surely they're going to. I get into the theater. There was a girl right beside me, and she goes, "I hear it's a comedy." And I was like, "Oh no. Oh no." I was like, "Really?" Yeah, I was like, "Man." I was like, "Well, it better be funny. It is late." Comes up Saturday night. And I was like, "Okay, sure. Give me what you got. Give me what you got, Mimi." It's a weird choice for him in that programming, but sure, why not? Okay. Then I don't like this movie at all.
Oh,
I don't.
what went wrong? All I know is
Man.
I saw the cast list, and you sent me like a still photo, and I told you it looks like it has the budget of an SNL skit.
To be fair, the movie looks better than that photo. To be
Okay, that
fair.
was a pretty bad looking photo.
It's a good looking film. The problem was Saturday night. He said it wants to like show you the process how this whole thing works and how stressful it is and how intense it is. It almost like crimes they invoke the bear at different times.
I do like the
Like
bear, though.
I do like the bear too, but here's the problem. The bear is very good at showing you everything from the prep to the cooking to the serving to the whole thing, how it all works. Then I think I know less how television production works after seeing the film than I did before. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I came out of it like I didn't learn anything about TV at all. Like, the only thing that I learned from Saturday night is that 40 or 50% of the cast are inseparable human beings.
Oh wow. Is it from
Yeah.
the acting or the way the characters are written?
The way the characters are written, like what's very, and that's the one credit that I will give Reitman, is that he doesn't write these personas with rose-colored glasses. It's not a very forgiving portrayal of all these cast characters, but it is not a good film. There's one part in the movie, and I won't say what it is, but like they had to convince an exec about the show, and the way that they do it, it just made me want to take my palm and put it straight to my face.
Like
It was just,
so is
it didn't work.
it the writing that does it injustice? Is that the biggest problem? Like, are the sets okay? The acting's okay? The music is okay? Like, what really like ground your gears about it?
The cinematography is good.
Okay.
I would say the performances are not bad.
Okay.
Chevy Chase, the guy who plays Chevy Chase, is like phenomenal. Like
Okay.
he does that character great.
Okay, okay.
It is the writing, it is the writing, it's the overall execution. The whole goal of the film is to be like, look how chaotic it is to get to 11:30. And I don't understand any of it. I was like, and I know way less about how any of that works than I do now.
I'm just
Than I
curious,
do right now.
have you ever seen, I think it's a documentary or something. There's some behind the scenes of South Park that shows like 1 week in the life of the South Park team. Have you seen that before?
I have seen that, and that is great. That is a great documentary. Yeah.
So because for
Yeah,
me, it seems like
then.
that would be the easy comparison, right?
Right, yeah. And that's a very good detailed documentary. Pretty good, yeah.
So this is not that.
It is not that. It is not like thumbs down for me, man.
Is it
But
worth
yeah.
watching it for the cast? Because I saw that cast list and I'm like, golly, I gotta watch this.
The way that I feel about it is that, it might be serviceable to those people that grew up around the era, that early era of SNL.
The 1970s era of SNL?
Yes, it might be serviceable to them.
John, I think if you add your age to my age, I still don't know if that's enough to be old enough to, what are you talking?
I'm just saying, man.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
is this really for like who is this for? Like the 70-year-olds?
Well, I mean, I think even some of the millennials remember like Belushi and, Chevy Chase.
All right.
Like they were like, I mean, like I grew up on Christmas Vacation
Okay.
and all that, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I think some millennials might like it, but
The
I
older millennials.
yeah, elder millennials like me.
Okay.
But
I think older than you.
yeah,
Because you didn't like it,
man,
dude. You didn't like it.
I didn't like it, and I grew up around
Oh.
them. I didn't like it.
Because I
And
do really enjoy SNL, but that's not my era. I don't think I've even ever seen an episode from back then. Like the oldest I've seen is probably some Jim Carrey stuff. Like
Jim Carrey.
I grew up more in the 2000s, 2010s era of SNL, right?
Jim Carrey was in In Living Color. He wasn't SNL.
He was never in SNL? Because I know
No.
I've seen some skits with him, but he was
Yeah,
never
but he
in
wasn't.
SNL. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
Will
he
Ferrell was
was
on
like,
SNL, right?
yes, he
Yes,
was. Yeah,
okay.
he
So
was.
that's the
Yeah.
era I was thinking of around then.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I really thought it's just an
Anyway.
actor. Anyway, what's the next one?
The Wild Robot. And
All right.
now
Now
this
this
is
one I know
where
you were excited about, right?
things begin to have a bright light.
Okay,
Yeah.
hold on, hold on. So this is a DreamWorks animated science fiction film based on a book by Peter Brown. It's very important to mention that because I saw even on Twitter that Peter Brown was upset that he's not really getting credit for this movie. So Peter Brown is the author and I believe the illustrator of this book too, a book series, written and directed by Chris Sanders. It stars Lupita Nyong'o and Pedro Pascal, Bill Nighy, Stephanie Soo, Mark Hamill, Catherine O'Hara, Matt Berry, Ving Rhames. Another fantastic cast. John, did this live up to your expectations? Because I know you were excited.
I absolutely adore this film.
Wow.
It is beautifully animated. Every sequence is treated with love, care. I mean, I've said on Twitter that when you look in the background in different segments, it looks like a Bob Ross painting.
Wow.
It is so beautifully done. I cried. I cried. So the movie focuses on a spiritual aspect. So it involves a robot that wakes up in the middle of the wild and finds a young goose
All
being
right.
born.
Okay.
And
Do you know, is that called a gosling? A baby
I
goose?
think it is. Yeah, I think it is a
Okay.
gosling.
So we find
Yeah,
a baby gosling.
but the baby gosling that hatches. Immediately, that bird thinks that,
Oh, this is adorable.
oh my gosh, man, it
Are
killed
you my
me.
mommy?
Yeah, so
Oh my God.
it goes straight to that, and the robot is designed to complete a task. Like that's their entire goal is to complete a task.
Is it a spoiler to say what the task is?
Whatever they're told to do, they will do it. Like,
But I mean, this robot, his specific task. Can you tell us, or is that better saved for the movie?
the task is to raise this child.
Oh, really? That is its okay.
Yeah.
That's its directive.
That's what becomes. Now, what happens from there, I'm not gonna tell y'all,
Okay, thank you. Good, good, good.
but I think the best way I could describe it is that it is a beautiful story about parenting, about letting go of children, about trying to raise a child, and what it takes to accept over time that relationship. And I think it is one of the best DreamWorks movies ever made.
This premise alone sounds almost like something more from Pixar, right?
I'm like, dude, you're not even getting. You're not even getting. It's
Okay.
like, it really does. But I think the guy who made it made How to Train Your Dragon,
All right, which is fantastic.
which is also fantastic, and it comes across in the film. It is a beautiful piece of work. I cry, man.
I'm so happy to hear it. Wow.
Thumbs all the way up on that one.
Quick question. Pixar movies always have great music, usually by Michael Giacchino. Does this have the same kind of magic music?
I believe so. I mean, dude, I was so like emotionally devastated by everything
So
that
it's
I
almost
knew.
overwhelming with how great it is.
Yeah,
Okay.
it was so overwhelming. Like the visuals, man. I mean, dude, like every single shot in this movie is like a painting, man.
I'm so happy to hear it. I've tried to be as blind as possible. I've tried to see nothing from this because I really want to see it in the theaters and be blown away that first time.
Yeah, and you will be. No matter what I say right here, you will be.
I
So,
believe you. I can't
yeah.
wait. I really can't wait for this one.
And our final movie, Will and Harper. Will Ferrell was here.
Cool.
I did not get to meet him, but he was here. This is one of the best documentaries probably this year.
I just want to say real quick, so Will and Harper is directed by Josh Greenbaum and stars Will Ferrell and Harper Steele. And who is Harper Steele?
Harper Steele is a friend of Will Ferrell's, but the story itself is about the fact that Will Ferrell and this writer have been friends for 20, 30 years or something like that. And then one day, she writes him a letter and says, "I'm transitioning, and I've been thinking about doing it for a long time." And the beautiful, I mean, the beauty of this film, well, documentary, is that number one, my respect for Will Ferrell, it has gone way up. It is such a difficult thing to know how to approach something you don't understand. You know, like whether you just something different, you know, like in a lot of times that breeds hate for no reason because people don't know how to react around things they don't get. This movie is the best example of what to do around things you don't fully understand. Instead of like feeling insecure about how to handle the fact that his friend is different, he decides to go on a road trip with Harper Lee and get to know the new person. Throughout the entire movie, they're driving across the country
Just
through
talking.
Rome, through discriminatory areas, through non-discriminatory areas, just talking, getting to know each other, asking permissions on like what is our relationship now? Like, am I supposed to act like I have before, or am I supposed to like, what are the ground rules now? And then,
Just
dude,
listening, just talking and listening. Wow.
and it's so beautiful, man. At one point, dude, there's so many beautiful moments in the documentary, but I gotta talk about this part. I have to. There's one part where they go to a very sketchy part of Texas. It's in Amarillo, and they give so much hate when they go in there to go to eat somewhere. And Will Ferrell cries and says, "Like, dude, I literally thought somebody might hurt you." And I mean, dude, it's just, it's hard. Like, yesterday was one of the most tender, like one of the most tender cinema days of my life
So
between the Wild
yesterday,
Robot and this.
Will and Harper, okay.
Yeah, man, it was just like
Wow.
one gut punch after another gut punch, and I just feel like My heart is just full today.
I have a
I've
quick
ever
question.
loved that.
So the Wild Robot, that's obviously all ages, family friendly. Will and
Yeah.
Harper, is that okay for kids?
Nothing terrible happens to me. I mean, it's not like I don't think there's any cussing or anything like that. But every kid is different. Every kid is different, so I think it's all subjective to the parent.
Yeah, but if you have a kid who's like ready for this kind of conversation, is willing to listen, I think this
If
could be
a
a great
kid,
educational film, right?
I honestly, yes. If you think the kid is ready, it's a great film, and it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny
All right,
too.
cool.
Yeah, that's everything I saw.
That's beautiful, John. And I think that's such a great ending with the Wild Robot and Will and Harper. Like those two together, like it just that's what movies are about, right? This beautiful spectrum of, there's hits and misses, but emotion at the center of it. That's fantastic. So I want to mention briefly, I saw this movie, You Are the Universe. I got to see it early. John, I think you're going to see it in a couple days.
I have the screener as well. I got that too. So as soon as I have a moment to like breathe, I'm tired. I don't know if
Will you get to see it on the big screen also, or just as a screener?
I think I'm bringing them up as a screener like this. Today I got a different man in secret screening number two. So there's another secret screening tonight. Yeah, and one tomorrow.
I'm really excited for A Different Man. I heard great things. I want to mention briefly, so this movie, You Are the Universe, I don't want to spoil anything for you, John, but I loved it. I really, really, really loved it. I was completely surprised. I didn't know what to expect or what. It's a Ukrainian science fiction movie. And if that sounds crazy to you, that's probably because I don't know if there's ever been a Ukrainian science fiction movie, especially not at the level of this. Like, this is, it's so well done. I talked to the director yesterday and we talked a bit about budgeting, and the budget was like this big. But when you watch the movie, you don't feel it. It's such a smart movie. It's so intimate and so small, but the emotions are big. It's funny, it's romantic, it's heartbreaking. It's so great. It's set in space, but that's only the setting. It's really a drama about loneliness and depression and hope. It just happens to be in space and with these beautiful space landscapes and these great, I'm not spoiling anything, but these great like kind of science fiction stuff that's done practically. I was blown away. There's not one bad thing about this movie. I loved it. I can't wait for you to see it, John, so we can talk about
I can't wait to watch it too. I'm excited to watch it.
it. I cannot, I just, I'm so happy thinking about that movie. Yeah.
And I got Gazer tomorrow too.
Oh,
And
that one sounds really cool.
yeah, I got Gazer tomorrow too. So tomorrow's my last day in person, by the way. So when I get home, I'll tell you everything.
That's good,
So
man. You've seen some bangers, so you've really maximized your time, right? You really made the most of it.
right.
Anyways, thank you, John, for taking us with you. Thank you for watching. We'll have much more Fantastic Fest covering soon as John wraps up his time there. If you like this review, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below so we can do more great opportunities like this. What movies are you most interested in hearing about? Let us know in the comments. I'm Vin. You can find me on Twitter at VinWritesWords.
I am John, and you can find me at John Movie Watch on Twitter.
Make sure to follow John because he's also tweeting along as he's watching these. So if you want some like early coverage, you can just look at his Twitter feed with some really good stuff there. And be sure to follow thecosmiccircus.com on Twitter at mycosmiccircus, where you can find more reviews, articles, editorials, and opinions like the ones you just watched. Thanks, guys. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.